Welcome to the executive interview series brought to you by DocuSign. I'm Brittany Lehman. Rockstar companies do business on the DocuSign Agreement Cloud. For more information, go to DocuSign.com. Our guest today is Kevin O'Leary, chairman of O'Shares ETFs and star of ABC's Shark Tank. So Kevin, you're a serial entrepreneur and you also help entrepreneurs on Shark Tank. But I kind of want to go back before all the money and all the success because you started from very humble beginnings. So tell me about your humble beginnings and how that kind of led you to Shark Tank and where you are today.
Sure. I've learned when I talk to other entrepreneurs that have had similar journeys that there's some, you know, catastrophic moment in their life that takes them on this new path. And for me, it was very early on when I got my first job while in high school. I got a job scooping ice cream in a mall. And the reason I did it is the girl I was interested in was working in the shoe store in the afternoons across. And I thought if I could just get into that mall,
right?
You know. And so the first day I showed up there, and of course I'll never forget this, I was scooping ice cream. And when people take samplers and taste ice cream, they get a little stick of it. Mm-hmm. They take their gum out and they throw it on the floor. That just is what happens. And then they taste the ice cream. At the end of the day, my first day ever, my first official job, the woman that owned the store came to me and said, look, before you leave, you've got to scrape all the gum off the Mexican tile. It was a Mexican tile floor. So, you know, it gets really sticky. And I said, well, and immediately I looked across and I saw, you know, this girl in the front looking at me because it was now time to leave. It was about 4:30. Mm. And I didn't want to see her, have her watch me on my knees scraping gum. Because I was really concerned. I said, I said to the owner, look, I'm a scooper, not a scraper. You hired me to scoop ice cream. Hire somebody else to clean the floors. And she said, no. Here's how this works. You're my employee and you're going to do exactly what I say. Now, this was my first experience in how this whole thing works. And I said, well, I can't do that. I mean, I really want to be the best scooper there can ever be. And so I want to focus on scooping.
Yeah.
And she said, how about this? How about this? You're fired.
Right.
And I said, what does that mean? She said, don't come back. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to pay you cash for the few hours you were here, but I don't want to see you here again.
Yeah.
And it was so humiliating. And at that moment, it was like a bolt of lightning that hit me. I realized there's two types of people in the world. There's people that own the store and there's people that scrape the shit off the floor.
Right.
And you have to kind of decide which one you want to be. And that was my moment. I've never had a job ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I've worked part-time stuff when I was in college and everything, but I never want to work for anybody because that she defined who, you know, I was so embarrassed and so humbled and I had to go back and tell my mother I'd been fired. And the whole experience, I just didn't like the control fact. Years later, I can now afford to buy the mall and bulldoze it if I want.
Yeah.
So I went back with cameras to try and find her, to thank her for that defining moment. And nobody could find her. Nobody could find, you know, anything. It was just a single one of ice cream store.
Right.
But my point about that is every entrepreneur has that moment where they decide to take that journey. It's never a destination. It's always a journey. And it kind of defines who you are for the rest of your life. It's not the easiest road, but that's what happened to me.
And you also dabbled in media as a TV producer. You went to start Softkey in your basement, correct?
Right.
And you overcame some challenges with Softkey. And what advice do you have for entrepreneurs who kind of hit a brick wall in business and don't know what to do next?
The best advice I've ever received that has been with me forever was way on. My first company was called Special Event Television. I was producing television for the Hockey League, the National Hockey League. And one of my partners was a guy named Jerry Patterson, who's dead now. A wonderful man. He became one of the first agents to bring Russian players into the U.S., you know, into Detroit and Boston and Michigan and other teams. And he said to me once, Kevin, you've got to learn how to shut up and listen. And I said, what do you mean, Jerry? He said, think about your day. You talk all the time and you don't listen. And that means you're not assimilating the things that are changing around you. You're just talking. Why don't you change so that you're listening 60% of the time and, you know, talking 40 and watch how more effective you become. And I thought about that and the next day I tried it. And over the years, I have learned that the most successful entrepreneurs are able to assimilate data that they're constantly getting by shutting up and listening. And just before the train runs them over, they pivot because they've seen what's occurred because they're knowledgeable of it. That is my number one advice for everybody now, is to shut up and listen, because everybody's talking too much.
Right.
And you're missing a lot of important information in the environment around you.
Yep. And failure happens sometimes, as you know, when growing a business. Do you remember your first failure, and what advice would you give a wantrepreneur who is about to fail?
My first failure was around financing the nascent startup, one of my companies. And I'd made the assumption that just, you know, when you feel good about getting financed and you think the deal's going to close, that doesn't mean anything. There's so much that can change in a very short period of time that I tell nascent, you know, entrepreneurs that, look, you need three options all the time. You need to have a backup plan. You need to assume that whatever you're working on is going to fail, and what's going to happen when you do that. And that's served me very well, because the volatility in being an entrepreneur is extreme. Mm-hmm. It's always extreme. Even when you're successful, there's still volatility, because you can't know what's around the corner. You never do.
Right.
And you just need the flexibility. So the most important thing is not to run out of cash, obviously. Mm-hmm. So whatever your assumptions are about sales, cut them back by 80%, because you're probably not going to achieve your goals in the beginning.
Right. And as people know, you were the lovable, tough judge on Shark Tank. Do you view yourself as tough in business?
No, I don't. And I get criticized for being the mean shark all the time. My attitude is this. My mother taught me this. If you tell the truth all the time, you'll never have to remember what you said. And in business, there is no gray zone. You're either making money or you're losing it. So in my attitude is, when I'm talking to people about their businesses, I'm not going to be disingenuous and say to you, you know what, I'm not going to invest in you, but you keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
Because I want to encourage you, like Barbara does on Shark Tank, or Lori, which they're both on my sides, right?
Right.
And I look at them and say, you are so full of this is a really crappy business. It's going to go to zero. This idea has no merit. It's completely bankrupt. Why don't you just tell them the truth?
Right.
Or tell her the truth, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you encourage them to go on when you know you're not going to put a dime into it? Mm-hmm. My attitude is, look, I'm not giving you anything because it's just going to die. That money's going to go to zero. Mm-hmm. And so are you.
Right.
You would be better off to realize this was not a good idea. And personally, I would prefer to invest in an investor who's felt the sting of failure.
Mm-hmm.
An entrepreneur that has the fear of failing again is an extremely motivated person.
Right.
So I like it if you've had, you know, you've experienced failure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to try a new idea, not the one that failed.
Right.
Because you become more knowledgeable with failure. So I'm not afraid to tell the truth. And if people think that's bad, I don't care.
No. And walk us through your process on how do you decide what companies to invest in?
So, first of all, I see a lot of deals, like
sure.
a lot. And so I have a whole team of people that I can bounce them off. But in the end, what I've learned is most important is that visceral feel that you get having, I've had catastrophic failures and phenomenal successes in my career.
Mm-hmm.
Great ideas that I thought were going to be fantastic failed and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to, what's the team like? Remarkably, in the last decade, and I've said this many times, and I've learned from it, 95% of my successes on Shark Tank have come from the companies run by women. And so, and you know, I don't want to start gender warfare. I'd give money to a goat if I could get a return.
Right.
I don't really care.
Yeah.
But the point is, they're doing certain things that I've learned mitigate risk. They set very achievable targets. They're mm-hmm. extremely focused on time management skills. They're very protective of their brands. They work very well with social media. There's a whole bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I, generally speaking, have been investing the majority of my capital in new startups with women just because the returns have been much better.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean it's the only thing I do, but that's my number one. Who's on the team? How many women are in the company? They mitigate risk. Returns are higher. That's what I want to know.
Love that. I want to kind of talk about digital transformation. First, what are your thoughts on digital transformation that's happening now with almost every sector of business?
Yeah, and it's a very good question, but I must tell you that mm-hmm. I've been looking at this now for 3 years, looking at various business opportunities that are taking, for example, print magazines that have had great success over multiple decades
mm-hmm.
that make the assumption, and I'll use a good analogy, what everybody learned was wrong in the digital transformation was if you took a dollar of advertising out of a print magazine and made the assumption it was going to be a dollar of advertising on digital, right. you were wrong.
Right.
In some cases, it got cut by 100 times mm-hmm. because there was so much competition coming into the digital platform, including free content with different models
right.
of revenue, that that transformation has been extremely painful to old traditional brands. And so today when people say, well, here's a magazine for sale for $100 million. It had free cash flow of $25 million last year. How much of it do you want to buy? My answer is zero.
Yeah.
I'll wait and see how it does after somebody has spent hundreds of millions trying to transition into digital.
Right.
And it may not even make it.
I'm Brittany Lehman, and this is the Executive Interview Series brought to you by DocuSign. We'll be right back with Kevin O'Leary on Business Rockstars.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month that can cover a car payment or pay back loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They're super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-
Welcome to the Executive Interview Series brought to you by DocuSign. I'm Brittany Lehman. Rockstar companies do business on the DocuSign Agreement Cloud. For more information, go to DocuSign.com. Our guest today is Kevin O'Leary, chairman of O'Shares ETFs and star of ABC's Shark Tank. I want to talk about a little bit versus the corporate ladder versus a startup environment.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a different skill set required for climbing the corporate ladder versus climbing a ladder in a startup environment?
Yeah, well, there is, because startups are very chaotic and very unstructured, particularly before they hit 5 million in sales. You have this sort of transition from the first million to the 5 million, and I have many companies have gone through that, and that takes a certain skill set. The transition's at around 5 million, where you have to, you know, have silos of managed activities around accounting or compliance or marketing or procurement or manufacturing logistics, because mm-hmm. 5 million, you've proven your model, and now you're pouring fire on it to grow it.
Right.
That is a different skill set. That's when you start to climb the corporate ladder by recognizing talent within your team that should be pegged for leadership roles going forward. In a large corporation, the people that are successful almost 99% of the time know how to help their bosses achieve their quarterly goals. So the reason you don't get fired is because your boss is hitting their target. Mm-hmm. And you have to figure out, how do I protect, even though you don't like this person, or you may not.
Right.
I mean, this is the number one thing that you know, people that are trying to march up the corporate ladder don't understand. The minute you try and go around your boss is when you get a knife in the back.
Right.
And so you need to figure out, how do I help that man or woman achieve their goals? Because what actually happens in the corporate game is the person your boss is working for sees you performing and pulls you out of that ladder and takes you up to another one.
Mm-hmm.
That happens 90% of the time.
Right.
I teach this stuff to graduating cohorts of engineers, how to play that game.
Wow.
So it's an interesting gig.
So you've worked for companies, you started your own companies, you've invested in your own companies, or in companies. What is the most fun and what's the most rewarding for you?
You know, I enjoy working with entrepreneurs because I see myself in all of them, all the men and women I have invested in.
Mm-hmm.
I strategize. I'm basically a marketing salesperson. You know, you have to understand what you're strong at and what you're weak at. I'm not a logistics expert. I don't enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to price points and testing brands and marketing products, that's where I add value. And so I say to all my entrepreneurs, look, I have this remarkable platform. I'm on television and all over social media. Let's figure out how I can help you in our relationship reduce your customer acquisition costs. I do that with all my companies. What can I do for you to make it better, to make it easier? Because I'm vested with you. I mean, I basically own, in many cases, a big chunk of your company.
Right.
How do we use my time effectively to help you do better? And that's what I enjoy doing. I enjoy that work. So I actually own three television studios now where I produce so much stuff because I started my career as an editor. So, you know, the great news today is you can buy a 4K broadcast studio for a couple $100,000. And I broadcast pretty well every weekend from one of these locations. And when we're doing it, we're shooting content for my companies. That is my secret sauce. And I really like the work.
That's amazing. It's very easy to have shiny object syndrome when building a business. What advice do you have for entrepreneurs on what they should really focus in on?
I always say there are three of the most important attributes. Cash flow, cash flow, and cash flow. Because if you're burning cash, that's your blood leaking out of your body. And you're trying to figure out how much burn to revenue. I mean, that's the biggest problem. So I always say to them, look, I know you've got a spreadsheet that has assumptions about cash flow. They're wrong. I guarantee you they're wrong. They're either wildly wrong to the upside or wildly wrong to the downside, but whatever they are right now, they're wrong. So every night you should mark to market what cash you have left and what you're doing in terms of burning it or bringing it in. Most CEOs say, oh, no, I'm just going to leave that to my CFO. Don't do that.
Don't what do advice that. Do you have for securing capital and for fundraising?
Well, today, there's many different platforms that help you launch companies, Kickstarter, Indiegogo, that kind of thing, where you can actually fund inventory, which is the biggest problem a lot of these startups have. But it's not easy to acquire capital. People say, oh, there's tons of money around. No, there isn't. That money is reserved for companies that have proven a business model, even if it's nascent and it's small at $2 or $3 million in revenue. But they've gotten from zero to $2 or $3 million in revenue, and now they're going to see a VC saying, look, if I pour $5 million on this, I can grow sales to $25 million. Here's how I'm going to do it. Here's, you know, what platforms I advertise on. Here's how many customers we get. Here's how long we retain them. Here's the customer acquisition cost. When you're able to give that model to an investor like me, I'm interested.
Yeah.
But if you're telling me I have a startup idea and I need $1 million, you have to go get that yourself.
Yeah.
Get that from your mother.
And last hard-hitting question, do you still wake up passionate every day and are you still having fun?
Yeah, you know, and I tell people this because it's a great question. The reason you pursue the entrepreneurial journey is not for the greed of money because you don't know that outcome. You just don't know. You do it for the pursuit of personal freedom because if you are successful in one of these companies, you only need one. And you get to a place where you wake up one day and you say, shit, I'm rich. How'd that happen? You didn't see it coming.
Right.
And that happened to me, you know, when the sale of the Learning Company, nine of us, we started in a garage and then we sold the company for $4.2 billion.
It's like,
and,
wow.
And the next morning I got up and said, well, I'm only going to do the things that mean something to me now. I don't have to do things I don't want to do. So I'm going to chop my days up. I get up at 4:30 usually in the morning and I work out and I have a routine and I do a lot of work very early. And when I travel, I sleep a lot in planes and cars and, you know, helicopters and whatever else. But the idea is you map out your week. I've got this wonderful woman I work with that we chop up the day into 30-second segments. And each Thursday or Friday, I look at the next week because a lot of it gets booked by various commitments I make and whatever else. And if there's anything I don't want to do, I just cancel it.
Yeah.
Because I no longer work for that woman in the ice cream store.
Right.
I work for me and I do what matters to me. And that is, I wish everybody gets to that place. And the only way you can do that is you've got to be an entrepreneur. It doesn't mean being an employee is a horrible thing.
Right.
It means you get to go to the soccer games and the picnics on the weekends. You can go visit your spouse's family and all that. I never got to do any of that. I was working like an animal for 15 years.
Right.
And now I just, my new vision of freedom is I say to my family, look, I'm gone all week. I'm all over the world. But pick any city on earth, anywhere you want to go this weekend, and I'll pay for all boyfriends and girlfriends to go there. I'll book the resort or whatever you want. Let's hang out from Friday night to Monday morning and we'll do it again.
Yeah.
And that is my version of freedom. And I do that every weekend. I'm always together with my family on weekends in some crazy place that they chose. I don't care where it is.
Yeah.
And that's it. The point is you do the journey for the freedom. That's it. And that to me is the definition of freedom.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. U.S. entrepreneurs continue to project a strong business outlook despite a slight dip in economic confidence. According to the Spring 2019 Bank of America Small Business Owner Report, nearly 70% plan to expand and more than half predict rising revenues. Even as growth remains a focus, entrepreneurs are taking steps to protect against potential threats to their business. Nearly two-thirds have a business continuity plan in the event of a natural disaster, while the majority have taken steps to prepare for an economic downturn and secure data against a cyber breach. Sharon Miller, head of Small Business, Bank of America.
Small business owners remain optimistic about their business outlook and their ability to grow in the year ahead. However, while most entrepreneurs are taking steps to protect their business from potential threats such as natural disasters, an economic downturn, or a cyber breach, a sizable number still are not.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is...
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We've got Dr. Mimi Secor in the building. She's the CEO of Mimi Secor. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Mark. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us about your company. What do you do?
I am a nurse practitioner, doctorally prepared, and I speak around the country. I clinically practice. I'm an award-winning author of several textbooks, and I've just recently teamed up with my daughter to do some health and fitness work with nurse practitioners and other healthcare professionals.
Fantastic.
To help them get healthy and fit.
Okay, so you help other practitioners and different people right. get in shape.
Right.
What do you feel like is, and we've talked about this before, but what do you feel like is the problem that's keeping them? If they're health practitioners already.
Well, here's the problem. Most health practitioners, even people in business, they wake up in the morning, they're exhausted. Maybe they didn't sleep well because they're working too hard. They don't get enough time to eat healthy. They just, that's their day, day in and day out. And I was in that when I was in my doctoral program. I was crashing and burning, exhausted. No idea how to deal with the stress of my life or eat healthy. And then Catherine threw me a lifeline and helped me to get healthy and fit. I graduated with my doctoral degree and had lost weight and become very fit.
And you've been in fitness competitions.
I have.
Which is incredible.
Yeah, just a couple months ago, I was in the over 40 category at a show in Providence, Rhode Island, and I earned a trophy in fifth place, and it was very, very exciting.
That's so cool. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So what are some of the health tips? So when you're working with somebody on their health, and these are people that are supposed to be teaching others about
exactly,
health.
Exactly. That's the irony of this.
But they're letting
the
it slip
irony
for themselves.
Of this. Yes.
What are some little quick tips?
Well, here are some quick tips, and they come really from Kat Secor. She's so awesome. She first said to me, you've got to have protein on board, and you've got to have that on board every 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, you need to drink water. And oh, by the way, you need to get your sleep, because nothing's going to work unless you do that. And I said to her, I'm sorry, but I have no time for this. Mm-hmm. And then she said, you know what? You've got to start recording your food. I said, I really don't have time for that. I barely have time to finish my homework.
Yeah.
But kicking and screaming, I slowly began to make these small changes. And the next thing you know, I was making huge progress. And I think that's the message to the busy business person, the busy healthcare professional. You do not have to rock the boat in a way of revamping your whole life. You just need to start making some changes. Once that's easy, you add another change. It doesn't have to be a total revamp.
Okay, so small, consistent changes.
Exactly.
And slowly integrate and sort of like lay one brick at a time.
Exactly.
And then you make these massive shifts.
You make them over time.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Awesome. And so what inspires you about the work that you do? Because I know that you ultimately love seeing the work that you've impacted on the consumers, but now you're also impacting other practitioners like yourself.
So it doesn't matter where I go. I'm at conferences all the time. I'm in restaurants. I'm traveling through airports, and I interact with people that are frustrated and stressed out. And
so 90% of the world.
I share my journey with them. And they can't believe it. I'm in my 60s and I feel better than I did when I was in my 20s. And I think that inspires others. And then I'm able to sort of tweak their lifestyle, help them make some changes, and then plug them into our business, Coach Kat and Dr. Mimi. Okay. And that's exciting.
Well, I think some people out there watching might be like, what? In your 60s, what has been the key to maintaining your health and your energy in the way that you look right now?
So here's the key. The key is committing to yourself, not wanting it, committing to yourself and making the changes no matter what. So I'm traveling, I'm exhausted. I get to the Marriott Hotel in Long Beach at 9 o'clock at night and I go to the gym. Oh, it's closed, it flooded, it rained, it's rained out. Well, I snuck around the cones and got in there anyway and did my workout.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing, no excuses. I'm always saying to myself, no excuses. What would Kat do? She'd go, she'd do the workout. She sets the bar so high, that helps me and it helps me inspire others.
So
if I can do it, anybody can.
An accountability partner.
Exactly.
And that's super important.
We all need that. In order to be consistent, you need the accountability.
Accountability is huge. One of the most important things, I think, when it comes to health. I want to shift gears and I want to go back to the beginning of your story. How did you get to where you are now? You've gone through quite a bit and I want you to share that story with us. Did you always know that entrepreneurship was something that you wanted to do?
I always knew it. I don't fit into 9-to-5 in a system.
Did you have a lemonade stand as a little girl?
Yeah, absolutely. I sold raspberries. I sold potatoes. I sold all kinds of things out of my parents' garden. And they would say I would pre-sell everything before it even grew on the stem. It was really kind of funny.
Yeah.
So I was just a natural salesperson, entrepreneur. And I've just always loved that. And I don't fit into that sort of 9-to-5 situations. I'd rather go out and find my speaking gigs and be a consultant and entrepreneur and have that freedom, even though it means working a lot.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why extreme self-care is so important.
Well, I think that what's interesting is not everybody's willing to invest the time, energy, and money to go through getting their doctorate degree, then to not even use it for what you would typically think.
Exactly.
And then to go and be essentially self-employed and have your own business. So why was that the path for you?
So my path has always been that I've been a lifelong learner, and getting my doctoral degree was just something I really wanted to do. But then when I was in the midst of it, I realized I was going to crash and burn. This was my history, yo-yoing. Whenever I'm stressed, I usually would just crash and burn, lose the wheels off my wagon.
Yeah.
And thanks to Catherine, she helped hold my feet to the fire in terms of accountability and support, teaching me these tools that all of us should know, so that I was able to graduate and then build on the success during my doctoral program to be able to be in that show. Okay. And now I have my sights set on another one.
Fantastic. Well, you keep talking about Kat, and I know she's coming on the show, and we're going to talk with her, but
Great. What
makes you two a dynamic duo? I know you've kind of got the yin and the yang of the health perspectives and your background, so tell
us about that. So I have a deep background in health and medicine because I've been a nurse practitioner for this year 40 years, and Catherine comes at the team approach as a trainer and a professional bodybuilder. So between the two of us, we can cover a lot of the concerns that the average person or healthcare professional has. Stressed out business person, you name it. And we can really meet a lot of needs.
That's fantastic. Well, not everybody has the dynamic duo that you two have. We've got the CEO of Mimi C. Core, Dr. Mimi C. Core, joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. And I want to talk about some habits and rituals. I know going to the gym and eating healthy are some of those, but what are some of the not so obvious things that people can start doing to make those small, consistent changes in their health that compound over a long period of time, like yourself, and get massive results? What are they?
Here are some huge ones. Go to sleep half an hour early, 15 minutes early. How about wake up in the morning?
In my regular schedule.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And commit to it. How about waking up in the morning, instead of grabbing a cup of coffee, maybe grab the cup of coffee, but drink a glass of water before the cup of coffee. We're generally so dehydrated, it's mind-boggling. And we can't think and we can't function, and we'll even store more fat if we're dehydrated. So it's real. Those are essential. And then starting your day with protein and having it consistently throughout the day. Those are huge pearls. That changed my life.
And that's something that I'd learned as well. Is like, wake up in the morning, because when you're going to sleep for about 7 to 8 hours or 6 to 8 hours, you breathe out 1 to 2 liters.
That's
why you wake up dehydrated. So
Water
with some lemon in it.
Right. We call that insensible loss when you breathe off the moisture, the fluid in your system.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about going to the gym and how so many of us, maybe we make the excuse that I don't have time to go in the morning. Maybe after the end of my long day, I'm tired and I'm not going to put in the effort and the intensity to go to the gym, because most people think, well, if I'm not going to get a good 30 to 60 minute workout, I might as well not go at all. But we were talking about how the habit's more important than the effort.
Absolutely.
And so what do you have to say on that?
So say I get to the hotel, I unpack, I lay down on the bed and I go, okay, I'm going to set my alarm and I'm going to get up in 20 minutes, no matter what.
Yeah.
And really the hard part is getting out of the bed onto your feet and then into the gym. So I have a motto, basically no excuses. And unless you're really committed, if you want something, then it's sort of take it or leave it. Okay. But if you're really committed, and I am, to lifelong health and fitness and helping my peers with that, then I can't make excuses. And I just can't.
And when you are committed, find other people around you that can hold you to being committed.
Right.
Like you were saying, an accountability partner.
Yeah, a coach, anybody, a friend, anybody.
And that's what people can hire you guys. That's
exactly
what you guys do, is you give them the meal plans, the workout plans.
We do.
And teach them exactly what they need to do and then hold them accountable to
a whole system. Right.
A whole system.
Right.
Proven process that's for your custom diet, your custom workout, for whatever type of body or lifestyle you want, right?
Which is what Kat's so good at. Mm. And that's really what she did with me, which is why we had this brainchild. And we're like, oh, man, it works so well for me. Yeah. And I don't have a history of anything working very well for me very long. That's why we decided to share. We thought we'd really synergize well, and we do.
Well, let's, instead of talking about different tips and tricks around health, because we'll talk more about that, I want to talk about something about adversity, because we have a lot of successful people come in here. You're sitting in the same chair as Damon John from Shark Tank,
right.
John Assaroff, the billionaire Tim and Fertitta, Jamie Foxx, and so many other ultra successful people.
Yes.
And it's great to hear about success, but what we love hearing more about, and we all relate to, is failures, adversity, pain, the struggle. So share a season of adversity for you, a time when you maybe felt like giving up. But ultimately, you didn't. You pushed through, and there was a gift on the other side. Share that story with us.
So my first semester, I was not sleeping. I was trying to understand my homework assignments. I mean, you know it's bad when you have a hard time understanding the homework assignment. And they just kept piling on to me. And I felt like I had no grasp around healthy eating. I didn't know where to begin. I literally felt like I was in a panic mode. And it was going on week in and week out, month in and month out. And my daughter saw it happening to me. She could see the same thing happening that would normally happen when I was really, really stressed. It was a breaking point for me. And I remember crying when she said to me, Mom, I can help you. I said, no, I'm beyond help. Honestly, there's nothing you can do to help me. I'm just going down burning.
But she didn't let that happen.
She did not let go. She was like a Doberman. She just latched onto me and said, look, I am not going to let this happen. You're going to do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
I'm going to drag you to the gym. I'm
going
to drag you to do meal prep, and we're going to figure this out.
But you ultimately graduated as the valedictorian of your doctorate class.
Well, I was a very... I did very, very well.
So you went through some seasons, but
beat out a lot of those young kids in my class, I'll tell you.
So do you think having the health and the energy routines that you created put you above some of the kids that should be sharper, faster, more energetic
and all? I think that exercise energized me. That steady blood sugar from the good, healthy food energized me.
They're all eating Hot Pockets.
Oh, absolutely.
Not getting sleep,
pizza
studying.
Pizza every other minute, chocolate, you name it. And I was just eating clean as a whistle.
Okay.
I think it was night and day.
So for a lot of people out there that say, I'm too old, it's too late to worry about my health. Is it ever actually too late?
Never, ever. Okay.
I'm too fat. I could never lose all this weight.
Oh, man, you just chip away at it. You can never give up on your dreams. And that was a big piece of why I went back to get my doctoral degree. I wanted to prove to myself that I could do whatever I wanted to do at any age. Mm. And then when I got the fitness bug, I decided, why not? I'm tuning up my brain. Isn't this ironic that I'm letting my body crash and burn? I need to be a role model for my patients, my community, my peers. So the irony struck me. And I realized, man, with the rest of my life, I need to be a role model.
I think that's so great. Because you shared with me how so many health practitioners and nurse practitioners, they're helping their people and they give everything to them, but they're not actually being great role models, living and leading by example. And you guys do that. We'll be right back with Dr. Mimi Secor to talk more about her company. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. Some entrepreneurs will tell you working for somebody else just wasn't for them. So how can you tell if the entrepreneurial life is for you? Well, you might be an entrepreneur if you're really restless, you require constant challenges and a role that allows you to color outside the lines. You might be an entrepreneur if you're super creative. Creatives have that internal fire that burns and keeps them motivated and hungry for success. You might be an entrepreneur if you're insanely talented. Talented individuals love to run their own race, work with clients they love, and find new and exciting ways to raise their income level. If one or all of these traits describe you in any way, odds are you already know you may be an entrepreneur. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month. That can cover a car payment or payback loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They are super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Hi, I'm Danny Lipford with Today's Homeowner, giving you a few tips in being able to have a safer and healthier home. And one thing you can do for both of those, as well as making your home a little more energy efficient, is to add insulation in your attic. We're using a mineral wool insulation from Rockwool that I've used a lot over the years because it's mildew resistant, extremely easy to install, and also it's very fire resistant. That may give your family a little extra time to get out of the house in the unfortunate situation of a fire. We're also trying to improve our indoor air quality by making sure all of our exhaust fans go all the way to the outside and actually enhancing the experience a little bit by installing an MP3 player that's part of the Braun Sensonic brand. Really cool to have that music while you're in the shower. And video surveillance cameras from Carrier, the core system, are so easy to install. Put them on the shelf and plug them in. More information available for you.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We've got Dr. Mimi Secor in the building. She's the CEO of Mimi Secor. Recap first what your company does.
Thank you, Mark.
Of course.
My company, I'm a nurse practitioner. I speak at conferences. I speak with groups and communities and anywhere I can to spread the word about health and especially around fitness, my new passion.
Awesome. Well, I want to talk about speaking, but we'll do that in a little bit, kind of tips and tricks around that.
Great.
First, I don't care if you're an entrepreneur, a busy business owner, an aspiring entrepreneur, a health practitioner. Every person living needs to focus on their health. But I, myself, make some of these excuses. And I hear a lot of people, and I'm sure you'll hear even more of them. It's expensive to eat organic and eat healthy. It's time consuming. I don't know what the meals are that I should be doing. Worse is, how do I eat healthy when I travel or when I'm at the airport?
Or
all of these things are excuses. And there's a lot more I'm sure you've heard of. Let's squash those myths.
All right. Myth busting, that's what we're up to.
Yep.
So I thought that too, but if you do a lot of cooking in bulk, which is what we do, I have a dedicated day when I'm home and I grill chicken with my daughter or not with my daughter and set it all up and put it in the freezer. That doesn't have to be expensive, especially if you look for sales and you have a backup freezer. When you travel, it doesn't have to be expensive. Oftentimes when I go to a restaurant, I ask for some clean protein and I ask for another second serving of it so I can have it in my 3 hours in the refrigerator. So you don't have to break the bank, but you have to be very aware and planning is key. My daughter often reminds me, if you don't prepare, if you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. And so that's huge for me.
In business and
huge,
with your meals and
absolutely,
health.
Absolutely, in all realms of your life.
Okay, fantastic. And you do meal prepping. I know meal prepping is a huge thing where there's just no excuses if you spent like one day preparing all the meals for the week.
And it doesn't even have to be one day. It can be a few hours. Most people are watching the news. They can do their cooking then, still watch the news. They're not deprived. Maybe they're not in their lazy girl or lazy boy chair. Yeah. Instead, they're standing and prepping. But it's worth it because then you have your to-go food and you're less like, you actually are less likely to spend as much money because you're not eating out at restaurants all the time.
And it's easier to buy in bulk anyway.
Way easier. Okay. People will say to me, don't you get bored with the same thing? And I honestly don't. I have too many other things to worry about than thinking about what I'm going to have at every meal.
Yeah, it's like,
I'm not worried about it.
If you get bored, you can mix it up and there are ways. But you look at people like Mark Zuckerberg, Does he get bored wearing the same gray shirt? I don't know. He's worth $55 billion. I don't think he's very bored. So he's distracted doing other things.
Exactly. And that's the way I feel. And I know that's the way Coach Kat feels.
The real question is, not am I getting bored with the food I'm putting in my mouth, but aren't you getting bored of feeling sick and tired?
Exactly.
Aren't you getting bored of looking in the mirror and not feeling confident and sexy?
Right.
Aren't you getting bored of that?
Absolutely. And always having to be in the dark with you around your loved one because you're so embarrassed.
Nobody wants the lights on.
Naked. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I see that all the time. People tell me their stories, their inner secrets, and it's sad.
Yeah. So my question is, and I've heard people say, it's easier to maintain it, and so all you have to do is get there.
I agree with that.
You don't think so?
Oh, absolutely not.
So it's easier to get the results than to maintain the results.
The glory is in the weight loss.
Okay.
The maintenance is not where the glory is, and it's very boring, and it goes on and on and on and on, and if you let your guard down, you're going to gain it back, especially for us women. And as we get older, it's harder and harder and harder.
To maintain.
Okay. Right. We have very little research showing that people are successful maintaining their weight loss. So look at the Biggest Loser.
Okay.
Pretty much
they all gain it back.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So if you win a lotto ticket, you're going to lose all the money 85% of the time.
Right.
You lose all that weight if you don't have a coach or somebody like you and Kat who holds you accountable, who teaches you new custom diet plans and workout plans.
Forever.
You're probably, forever, consistently. Right.
So that's really our commitment to long-term sustained change. So we want people to make changes that are realistic in their lives and maintain those over time. So it's all about customizing. What's unique to you? What are your preferences? What do you like to do for exercise? If you like your program of weight loss, you're more likely to maintain it.
Okay. And I think a lot of the times there's all these other things out there. And that's why I love what you and Coach Kat have together is it's custom.
Exactly.
And like you said, if it's custom exercise, custom diet plans for you, your lifestyle, and your ultimate end goal, body, weight, energy, and lifestyle, then you're going to be more likely to stick to it, especially with the accountability versus all the other stuff that's out there, which is cookie cutter. It's like one size fits all, and it doesn't. Why is one exercise plan and one diet plan that it's for everybody? Why is that not true?
Because we're so individual. Our metabolisms are different. We often talk about how each human is its own science experiment. When Catherine is working on a customized eating program for somebody, she'll say that to them. And she said it to me. We need to see how these changes work for you and how your body responds to it. And then we'll tweak it based on that response. I think that's key. And you don't get that with most other programs.
Fantastic. Well, it reminds me of in marketing. The same type of marketing wouldn't work for all different types of businesses. You have to test, tweak, measure. And it's the same thing with your health and fitness. Mimi Secor is joining us. She's the CEO of Mimi Secor. You graduated as the valedictorian of your doctorate class. You're an expert on health and fitness. And so I want to focus on the business owner. And so if I'm a business owner and I've got a lot of people in my organization, can I start taking the principles you teach me to have a better health and wellness? Can I start teaching that to the people in my organization so everyone can be more productive and have more energy?
Absolutely. Okay. So we offer customized programs, but also there are many principles that we offer that can be applied to any kind of corporate situation or group of people. So as you learn as an individual within our program, you can then go out and share that with your universe, your people, your village.
Okay. And you do that when you speak at different conferences.
Oh, I absolutely do.
You've heard the old saying, right? Most people would rather be in the casket at a funeral than giving the eulogy and speaking in front of everybody.
That's true.
So how did you learn how to become such a great, effective speaker, especially when you're going in front of a large audience, teaching them about health?
Well, I actually became a speaker in the early phases of my career as a nurse. Okay. I learned to teach EMT and CPR to community groups. Policemen, firemen, and that's really where I got my 10,000 hours of experience and then delved into educating my peers at conferences. You don't want to just show up at a conference with 5,000 people and that be your debut presentation.
Can we all agree that if you look your best, you feel your best, and then you perform your best?
Absolutely.
And so by looking better, by being healthier, by having more energy, you'll be more confident, you'll be more motivated, you'll make those phone calls, you'll network more, you'll get on stage, and in that state of being healthier, you're going to perform better, and ultimately, it will affect the bank account. You'll make more money.
Absolutely.
You can keep paying for your health.
And people are drawn to healthy people. That's the other piece. You're going
to
have a more successful business
if you look
healthy. We want to be around
people that are confident,
and
motivated.
Positive.
Positive.
Happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's contagious.
That comes from health.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, if somebody says, I'm inspired by you, I want to learn more from you, I know you have so much amazing free content online that people should be learning from you.
Right. They can go right to Coach Kat and Dr. Mimi on Facebook. Right. We have our own dedicated page. We love to hear from people that are liking that page and sending us questions.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Mark.
You're amazing.
Great. Thank you very much.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.